Hi, folks. This is Jay. We haven't started the meeting yet, just waiting a couple minutes for officially to be 10:30. It is Tuesday, September 8th, and we'll wait for Paula Doyle and any other visitor to call in.
10:30. All right. Busy day.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Busy week. It's going to be busy, I think, from here on out.
Think so?
Yeah. I'm just thinking.
Are you
okay? We're recording.
Do you want the minutes, or you want me to join too?
This one will probably be. We can go slow and pause since it's a limited agenda.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure.
Give it a shot. Oh, you.
I think I have one.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah. I made it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Just give it another minute here.
We can always start late, but we can't start early.
Right.
Is anybody on besides the office? Okay.
No.
A lot of stuff going on.
You mean just in the district, or you mean in general?
Yeah, that we don't know about.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about them.
All right.
All right. Seeing as it's 10:30 on the dot and 33 seconds, I'll call the meeting to order, and I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda as proposed. Did we have Paula yet on the call?
No.
All right. Kathy, do you have any other amendments to the...
Nope. I just saw that quickly, so
okay.
I'll approve it, and we can make changes as we go along.
All right.
So Kathy seconded.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I want to jump immediately into the administration. We have the lead and copper testing that has to be done by this month. Can somebody talk? Ah, yeah. Hi, who joined?
Hey, Paula.
Hi, Paula. Good morning. We just called the meeting to order, and Kathy and I approved the agenda as proposed.
Okay.
I'll take one step back if you have anything you want to add to the agenda.
Nope.
Okay, so
hi, Dinah.
We're good with that. Hi, Dinah.
Hello. How are you?
I have a question. Is this just a continuation of last week's meeting that you didn't get through, or was this other stuff that came up?
This is actually a separate meeting. Otherwise, we would have officially postponed that meeting and ended a continuation of this time. So there were many items of last week we didn't get to, but we officially adjourned last week's meeting and are now starting a new meeting to catch up on those things that we didn't capture last week.
Plus, I think there's additional new items that may not have been
aware of last week.
Right, and we can always throw those in, because I really want to get to Kathy's budget drawdown that she spends a lot of time putting together. So,
Well, I think the water issues are actually almost more urgent than the budget.
Okay.
Today's meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jay started talking about this lead and copper testing.
Yes.
The question that I had is that we were given a list of how many addresses? Dozens?
Yeah, but only 10 houses have to be.
Okay. So there's 10 properties that have to have a water sample taken from them, not from their exterior faucets. I don't know if we provided those names and addresses.
The state that picked the...
They picked the lot. Okay. Yeah. And Jay's looking through the paperwork now.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 names.
There's 16.
But we only need 10 samples.
Yeah.
Okay, they gave us 16 choices, and we got to take 10 of the 16?
Yep.
Okay. And the problem is that some of those property owners are not here during the week and or their rentals during the weekend, so we don't have easy access to the interior faucets.
Right.
And we have to do them all simultaneously, correct? Like on over the same overnight period?
No, this is 9 days or before to get to the lab. I believe this process, you can let these samples sit. There's not a waiting period, because lead and copper is not affected by temperature, so they don't have to be put on ice like other samples are. Okay, sampling method. Let the water remain unused for a minimum of 6 hours. That'd be your overnight period. I'm just describing the process described by Granite State Analytical. Do not pre-flush prior to the six-hour unused water time frame. After the six-hour no water use time frame, fill the bottle provided with cold water at high velocity all the way up to the top with the first water that comes out of the tap. This is known as a first draw sample and will be analyzed for copper and lead. So basically, you're looking at having these samples taken first thing in the morning by these residents.
Okay.
Because we'd either have to get there before they wake up, which is not a good thing to do. So obviously, I think at this point in time, we really got to reach out to and secure 10 residents who would be willing to follow this process and then provide those samples with us. And we were trying to get away a method of finding out how to contact these individuals, since we are limited on email addresses and definitely don't have very many phone numbers. So I had brought up last week, and I think, Kathy, you may have the key, is that the mail list that we have may actually be some of these customers that have been pointed out by DES. And if we can communicate by email and they're amicable to being partaking in the sampling, we can then set up that process.
Okay. But do all the samples have to be taken and given back to DES in one batch?
Within 9 days.
Yeah, within 9 days.
Yeah, Colleen McDonald's from Granite State.
Yep.
Once I have all the 10 samples that were in the 9 days, you know, it has to be done. I call her.
Within that week.
Yeah, but she has to pick them up on the 9th day.
Right, okay. So we have basically a week and a half.
Okay.
To get 10 people to submit their sample.
Okay.
And
how was this done in the past?
So Nancy used to contact, and I don't know if it was she did it by people she knew or if she just did it by what DES provided or Granite State Analytical. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But she knew of these people and would secure their agreement to go ahead and get these samples, and they just leave them on the doorstep, and she'd go by and pick them up.
She would just deliver the bottle with the directions on the doorstep.
Yep.
And
these are the same houses that we've done in the past?
Well, no.
I have no idea.
Some of them may be, but what's happened is we've noticed there's been some change of hand.
Yeah.
You know, some of the houses have sold, and so that makes it a little difficult.
So maybe the next step would be is if we've got the list of the addresses that Donna and Lynn can figure out who owns them.
Yep.
And then find out if we have any contact information for that person. And if
right.
we can get 10 out of the 16 with legitimate contact or current contact information, and then reach out to them via email probably or phone if we have it.
Right. So the opportunity
okay,
is...
Okay, so are we going to do that today?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
try.
Yeah.
So that's the next step is to send these 16 people hopefully an email, the ones that we have. So
yeah.
Okay.
Now, in the event that any one of these people are second homeowners, and I can see right now there are, if in the email to them they're agreeable to getting a sample, but they're not going to be here, will they give us permission to get that sample from their silcock, their garden hose?
Are we allowed to do that, though?
Yeah. Yeah. You just bypass the hose, take the hose off the bib,
okay.
and just use the bib.
Okay, for some reason I thought you couldn't do it on the outside faucets, but...
You don't want to go through the garden hose, because that's...
The garden hose. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
But if you do it from the metal plumbing,
okay.
then that's where you're going to get your lead and copper.
Okay, all right.
So that would be the other piece of the email, is if you're not going to be available and your water's turned on, can we obtain a sample from your outside bib?
Okay, or silcock or...
Silcock, whatever, yeah, you call it.
Faucet, yeah.
Okay. So we'll have an answer on that hopefully in another 2 days. So by Thursday, we should have a list to go by.
Okay.
And then we can start to distribute the bottles. Now we have 9 days from once we start the process to gather all 10 samples and return those to the lab.
Okay.
So in roughly 9 days from now, we'll be more than halfway through the month.
And there's labels so that they know which property it was. Date and label the bottom.
So why don't we send out an email with some questions? One, are you amenable to doing this? Two, are you here full-time or part-time? Three, if you're part-time, what is the next date you'll be available in town to do this? Because maybe people are going to be up here in September. The part-timers might be here. So let's ask a series of questions, get those all back in the next 2 days, and then figure out what we have, and let's not discuss it anymore today. Seems like there's nothing else we have to discuss. So.
Right. And just think about, so say if we can get the emails out in the next couple of days, will they be up
here? Get them out today.
Anytime in the week of the 14th. And that will be the week that we're going to collect them.
Yes.
So if they're there anytime in between, we say September 11th and 18th. September 11th or September 18th.
Yep, that's perfect.
And that will give us a couple of days to collect them all and for Holly to get up here and get them.
Okay, so I just want to check with Donna and Lynn. Are you okay with the directions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super.
All right. So if they can't get into the house, would they allow us to take the water from their faucet?
Yep.
Outside faucet, silcock, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. That was one thing on my list.
Yep.
Collection of water samples. Okay.
Do you want to talk about the date for the VDOE annual meeting?
We'll do it Thursday.
Okay.
Good.
Department of Labor inspection scheduling. Inspector Laramie called me on Friday. No, Thursday.
She had your cell phone number?
It was given to her.
Oh, okay. All right.
She wasn't happy. But anyhow, I got a call from her around 5:30, and she was just wondering what the status was. And I said, just getting a fire extinguisher now.
Okay.
So I asked her about the fire extinguisher because she said 6-pound BC.
Yes.
Are we required to get a 6-pound BC if we were offered an ABC? And she says, ABC is not as effective as BC on fluid fires or fuel. She says, but if you get if you are going to get a non-BC specific, then you're getting an ABC, then you have to get a larger size, 10 or 20 pounds. So that's what I got was a 20-pound, 3A and 40 BC.
Okay.
So it's mostly BC.
Okay.
So that will comply, she said.
Okay.
I said, okay, so here it is in the office, and the plate is on the switch, and I think that's it.
I think
right?
Everything else that was requested of us has been completed.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to take a quick look at DPW2 to make sure Ian cleaned up his office and go up on the mezzanine to make
on
sure
top.
The tires and stuff were not trip hazards.
So do you want to, Donna, call her and have her schedule a re-inspection?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be who knows how long out that'll be.
I'll send the email. I already drafted the email that we were ready. So
okay.
I will send the email to her.
All right. Okay. And then
we'll send the email indicating we're ready for the Department of Labor safety inspection.
Okay. All right. So the MS forms to the DRA portal, I can go over. Is either one of you, I know Kathy, you are set up in the portal. Lynn or Donna?
No.
Okay, we're going to have to get you set up in the portal. We could do that today. And then I can show you what's already there. Donna and I have reached out to
Michelle. Yeah.
Voicemail, email, and
didn't she just send something back saying she...
Yeah.
Very recent email about she wanted...
Yeah, because she gets a copy of this automated email to us saying that the forms are missing, and then I go in and I say, nope, there they are. They're signed copies of the annual minutes and the budget. So I don't know what else we can do. We had called her saying, please go into our portal and look at what we have there, and is that okay? And all we got, I think, was a reply from her seeing the same email that we get, which is an automatic generated.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll try, I guess I'll try calling her again, but it's hard anytime after 8 p.m., 8 a.m., because she gets so busy, I guess. All right. And do you want to do the budget drawdown, or you want to just...
I think there's a couple of other water things that we have to figure out what we're going to do first.
All right.
There's certainly issues with several properties that are attempting to hook up to our water system that that have not complied with our ordinance.
Yeah.
And what do we need to do about these guys,
and
what do we need to do going forward?
Okay.
The first one is 9 Reinhardt.
Yeah. So okay. 9 Roanoke, I was told this morning, I was up at the tank site. We did the leak test was performed today. Everything is good.
Good.
I talked to...
So that's something specific to put in the minutes. So you did a kind of a substantial completion...
Yeah, substantial completion was done.
Completion walkthrough
yeah.
with the engineer for the tank,
yeah.
the DN tank. And you're satisfied with the...
Yeah, the tank is nearly full. They shut the water off last Friday because if they had left it on over the weekend, we would have had an overflow situation coming out of that pipe. And you know where that pipe goes.
Yep.
So anyhow, okay. but that's what the pipe is for.
Okay.
Anyhow, so with respect to 9, let's talk about 9 Roanoke.
Yep.
So that water line is connected.
To?
Our water system.
With a curb stop valve.
Yep.
Has it given us the $8,000 water hookup?
No, we don't even have an application.
Who connected
so,
it?
Dawson's, the contractor, did.
Why did he do that if we don't have the money?
I cannot answer that, Paula.
We need to ask Ian that. We need to find that out from Chris Albert.
Yeah.
Then he's going to need to turn off. Turn off the water. I mean.
Oh, no, the water's not turned on, but he is connected,
okay.
and all you have to do is turn the curb stop valve.
Okay.
Well, that's a problem right there.
Yeah.
I'm sure Dawson's they don't understand our ordinances or our system the way Ian does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but somebody gave them instructions to go ahead and do that. Somebody
yeah.
authorized the work. Who authorized
yeah.
the work?
I'm sure Peter Knudsen, the owner, said, you know, hook me up. I'll pay you to dig the trench and put
yeah.
the water line in and hook me up. And
so it was unbeknown to both Chris Albert and Ian Hayes. So there
in
was
a district.
Yeah, in a district. And so there was
Can
I
we
guess
bill
apparently,
these people for the $8,000?
Well they gotta well they need to send us a check before this all this there is a foundation. They've even started
okay.
building their house.
No,
yet.
I know, I've been up there. So why don't we call them and ask them for a check this week? Tell
yeah.
them if we don't get a check they're not gonna get water. We'll take
yeah.
out the thing.
Yeah.
Tell them. I mean, I think that's pretty
yeah.
straightforward.
And he understands that and he's agreeable. I think he jumped the gun. Maybe he saw Dawson's there and they.
Well, yeah.
While we're here, we might as well just do it since they were putting in the curb stop valve anyway.
Yeah. So the other obviously the procedure wasn't followed, but in the procedure of placing the water line, even if this was applied for correctly, currently right now the water line is about 2.5, maybe just 2 feet down below the grade, existing grade.
Yeah.
So Chris was telling me, well, it's going to have to be brought up to here. And he held his hand to his chest.
They got to bury it 6 feet.
It's got to be 6 feet. And so I'm very surprised that this was allowed to happen. Secondly, is the pipe laid in a bed of sand? This is all part of the ordinances.
Yeah, I read it this morning.
Yep. So it's all very clear. So Ian talked to me, and actually talked to all of us last week on Thursday. He may actually do some simple digging to have the contractor prove that he put it in a bed of sand.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not in a bed of sand, that whole pipe's coming out, and that pipe's going to be put back properly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1-inch service line, which is normal around here, but it's coming off of a 2-inch stub, I call it off of a, I believe, a 4 or 6-inch that comes up as a main water main.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But we need to write a letter and copy Chris and Dawson's and Ian and Peter Knudsen.
Yeah.
About what's going on there, so that all parties know
yeah.
that they're in violation of the ordinance.
Yeah.
The water hookup application has never been completed by the property owner.
Right.
Dawson's should not be hooking up. I mean, that's an unusual case. All the other water hookups in the district are all existing.
Right.
Just a very unusual circumstance that a brand new person happened to be right there,
yeah.
50 feet away from where they were working. So, you know.
Yeah.
But Dawson should not be hooking up any new service lines without
yeah.
you know, conversation with Ian or, you know, there's got to be some rules laid down about all of this.
Okay. So, could you reach out to, I want to reach out to the homeowner.
Okay, reach out to the homeowner and then copy
yeah.
everybody else.
Copy everybody
okay.
else.
That, okay.
Yeah, because
yeah.
it's really the homeowner. The property owner is the responsible party. Even though Dawson's did the work, Dawson's made it, oh, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the property owner that actually is the responsible party.
And Dawson's, it's not up to Dawson's to determine whether he's paid his water hookup fee or not.
Right. So we'll talk about this part later, but
okay.
obviously he was hooked up. Mm-hmm. There's a cost to that. So who's Dawson charging? I haven't seen a bill from Dawson, or have we? Yeah. So we need to get into that.
Well, I think that the homeowner and Dawson knows that anything from the curb stop to the house is the responsibility of the property owner.
Oh, yeah. So. But normally there's a portion of that $8,000 hookup that gets charged to making that connection.
You're right.
We got to talk about that later. Let's just first get the application process started. Okay.
So, Don, if you do the email, could you let one of us read it first before you send it to Peter?
Or all three of us. Just copy all three of us.
Okay. Yeah. Just so we, yeah.
And we can comment.
And then you.
Yeah, we comment to you.
Yeah.
Comment to Donna.
Yeah. Just to make sure that it's stated in a clear way.
What am I stating?
That we are in, that we are.
The homeowner is in violation?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to start out with violation, but according to the water ordinance.
Yeah, we have become aware that your water line was laid and connected to our new water main. If you intend on connecting to our water system, you must fill out an application and go through the normal process, which is in our, and then copy the link to our ordinance, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. The ordinance says it all.
Yeah, it does, actually. It's pretty clear.
Okay.
I want to make sure you get all that.
Okay, so now I guess my question to you is, the water main goes past 5 Reinhardt, past 9? Our main already goes past 9 Reinhardt?
No.
It goes to its curb stop valve, that's it?
Yeah, wherever that is. We were unable to find that. It's buried somewhere.
Not for 9, for 5, the new one. I mean, for 9. Does it go past 9?
The main?
Yeah.
No.
It stops the curb stop valve, or does it go to the edge of its property?
It's probably... from what I could tell, and Chris was saying, I think the water main is right here. And then there's a 2-inch stub that comes off it. It may only be a foot long. We're about 10 feet away from what we were told was the property line, which was that for sale sign. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, then we're about 10 feet away. So
there's 5 ends, and we're 10 feet into 9, or 10 feet before 9 ends?
10 feet before 9's property line. So Chris thinks that Jake installed a 2-inch water main.
I don't like the thing. I don't like Chris saying he thinks. We should.
Well, yeah, nobody knows, because nobody knows what happened here except for Jake. So to Ian's point, we're going to have to dig. I want to see if he used 2-inch for water main, how far does it go? And then he's using 1-inch for the service line, which is standard.
Mm-hmm.
But
from the main to the curb stop.
Yep. And okay. I want to see how far that water main was extended, that 2-inch pipe.
Yeah, we got to know exactly where that is.
Yep, exactly.
All right. So now how are we going to communicate all of that to Chris and to Dawson? Or is that on Ian to find that out?
I think it's for Chris. Chris is the lead on this project, right? So it's up to Chris to find this all out. And...
And take pictures.
Oh, absolutely.
Digging and stuff. So.
Yep.
Because the next person who builds, we're going to be going through the same thing all over again, saying, okay, the house beyond 9, where's the water main end?
Right. So, and you can't, exactly. So, it's a can of worms.
It is. That was.
That was.
No, unless Dawson gratuitously extended the water main.
We don't know. I don't know what was, I don't even want to go there, what was agreed upon between the private homeowner and Dawson, but I don't want any double dipping to go on.
Right, and if...
All right, so one other thing I was thinking about was, Kathy, I think you were... I think what Ian was mentioning last week was that Dawson... may be required to dig, expose the pipe, so that Ian can expose where the 2-inch water main goes, because that's what they were talking about, circling that lollipop loop with a 2-inch main, because there's only a few houses on it. He'll have to expose where that ends, and then where the union to the 1-inch begins with the new homeowner at number 9. So, yes, all the digging is at the cost, not of the district at all, because it was not exposed and not left exposed for Ian to inspect. So Ian has the right to go and say, dig it up, I want to see it.
Yep.
So we'll have to do that, and we'll have to have pictures taken when that's done.
Okay.
Okay.
So now they, so the lolly pipe, so they haven't extended the water line all around there.
No.
Okay. All right, that's, yeah. All right. But if we decide to do that.
Yeah. That's a bigger story because where the road is legally on a map is not where it is physically. In other words, we'd be extending a water main through the woods, literally.
Okay. Maybe that's a meeting with Chris and Ian saying, and I read the ordinance, and it did say that we could, as a district, I don't know if it needs to go on the warrant, but we could extend the water line for the betterment of the district if we choose to do it out of the water line extension fund or whatever capital reserve money we had.
That's right.
We could choose to continue that water main.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's no houses up there yet.
Right, and do the betterment fee, what Chris was talking about.
We don't even have to do that.
Yeah.
If we choose not to. We have the right to do that as a district with the Capital Reserve Fund.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, all right.
All right.
Okay.
So now I want to move on to...
All right, that's 9 Reinhardt.
Yep.
So basically, the most important thing is to get the application filled out. So
yep.
We have all the relevant information and the $8,000 from Peter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that the $8,000 begins the process where if we have to spend any money, we can. We have it.
Right, because it comes out of his $8,000.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay, now number three, Grimsel. Now, we got that email off to that woman, Karen. Was it Karen?
I believe she did, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, the cost could be between $20,000 and $50,000 to bring the water main down your road.
Yeah.
And we have to do that on Thursday.
Yeah.
We did that Thursday.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
But she hasn't replied back, right?
No.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
That's
taken care of.
The other water thing was the people on 12 Interlaken. Had a
yes.
leak,
yeah.
and it was funny. Her email was she was having a hard time getting a plumber to do the repair.
Yeah,
she's not
okay,
doing a repair. She needs an excavator.
Yeah,
to
replace.
So I don't know if we want to reach out to her and make sure that she's clear. They're not just going to come in and put a Band-Aid on that leak. She's
right.
Going to dig up the whole line and replace it.
Oh, she'll be putting a Band-Aid on every 5 months every time it leaks.
So do we say you know Dawson's is in the area?
I wouldn't even suggest contractors of any type. They're readily available, but
well, I'll tell you what, I know Paula, bear with me. I just got a letter from an attorney. I own property in Florida, and it said there was fire damage to your property caused by a contractor who had a construction fire that got out of control. But the property damage is on your lot. You're responsible for cutting down the burnt trees. You may recover reimbursement through his insurance company, which I called this morning. The letter from the lawyer explained all that, and then it said, here are four folks that are willing to do the work versus, or you may contact somebody on your own. So the lawyer did list four different contractors that were willing to come in and cut down the dead trees on my behalf. So they were able to give some recommendation. But not limited to, but most people don't live there because they're vacant lots.
Right.
So they were able to provide us with people willing to do the work. So I don't think there's a problem with recommending Dawson's. I don't. You know, you could say Dawson's is currently doing work in the district. If you want to reach out to their office, here's their number. I don't know, Paula, how you feel about that.
I think if you're going to do it, you got to recommend, not recommend necessarily, provide, like what you just said is, okay, if somebody says, who do you use? If you don't know the area, you could say, here's three contractors that work in this area that do this kind of work, and then say Dawson's currently working. I don't know, but I don't like the idea of just providing one, because then if they use that guy and they have a problem, they're going to say, well, this is sort of who you told me to use, and whatever. Why don't we just tell her she's got to get it fixed? If she calls and says, who should I use? Then we can say, well, you could try Dawson. Why don't we just tell them they have to fix it and not worry about providing?
Yeah.
So let's just get this letter out. Let's move on. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm going to keep pushing on these meetings. We are over-discussing everything.
I know.
There's too much chit-chat going on about every issue, guys. Let's just cover the issue. What do we need to accomplish in the meeting today? And let's just move on. We got another meeting in 2 days.
Should be that you'll need an excavator, not a plumber, to replace the service line, and leave it at that, so that she's clear.
Yeah.
Okay, a plumber's not going to do that.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, okay.
I think I just want to make sure she doesn't, you know, she understands what her obligation is.
I understand that. Whoever is writing that back to her, just tell her that.
Okay.
Keep it sweet and simple. Tell her what she needs, what we need to tell her. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, can we move on to number 8, Edelweiss Drive, otherwise known as the Construction on Burn Drive?
Yeah.
Okay, so Donna did receive a septic approval, but the address of that lot was on...
It wasn't even a number, it was just Burn Drive.
Yeah, just a lot on Burn Drive. Well, I can't even believe the state approved an address without a number to the street.
And that's the description of the legal description of the property.
No, his legal description is Edelweiss Drive, and so as far as I'm concerned, the approval is null and void because it lists another property, which does not exist. There is no 8.
Burn.
Well, the Burn Drive.
It's just Burn. Yeah. There's no number. I did send out to the homeowner that this is not what we required. We need the correct property address associated with the septic approval letter from the state.
Yep. Okay. So he's got some work to do on his side.
Okay. So quick question. So would he have to legally change his address to keep the driveway on Burn?
I'm going to figure that out. I'm going to go see Town Hall
today.
All
right.
But as far as when we set up E911, yes. But, okay, so that's all done. So let's move on to the next one.
All
right. 32 Upper Lakeview, they were asking if there's a water line that runs in front of that vacant lot, and yes, there is, because it goes between 31 and 33, we know, so 32 is in the middle.
Okay.
So
32.
We can reply back that there is a water main, but that does not guarantee a connection to that water main, because if there's insufficient pressure, which is currently the case, then they would not be able to. But that is also contract number 2,
right,
if you want to call it that, to fix that pressure.
Yeah.
Okay? You get that?
So there's currently water in front, a water main in front of 32 Upper Lakeview. But without the water hookup application, we can't approve the hookup without the pressure test.
Yeah, we have to have the pressure test performed. Just going to wait for you to get that all written down.
Okay, so now a little tangent about that. When we get water hookup applications, are we now sending them to Jones and Beach?
Apparently, yeah, and he's using his LIDAR mapping.
Okay, so
to estimate water pressure.
There should be a way that Donna can just do it automatically. When we get a water hookup application, maybe ask Chris, who should we be sending these applications to?
For the last 2, I did.
Okay.
That's by what you, I was told, we agreed on,
okay,
that we forwarded to Chris, copy Ian,
okay,
and then wait for Chris to
respond.
This is kind of a new thing for him, too, to
get
this involved in our broad level of water engineering. Okay. So Chris is comfortable with that we... That's the way we're doing it going forward?
Yeah. Ian doesn't want really to be any part of it.
No, he just wants to be aware of...
Yeah.
Right. What's going forward, but he wants somebody else other than him to say yes.
He's not commenting one way or the other on any of them, Ian told me.
Have we gotten anything back from Chris that was an approval?
Yes, last week.
Thursday,
okay.
And he's actually doing, I got an email that I opened this morning, he's doing 34 into Lakin today.
Okay.
So those are the last 2 for this season.
Okay.
And those were approved by you, even though it was like a couple of days after August 1st.
Yep.
Okay.
So
we can do that according to the ordinance.
So that's...
All right. I'm curious what Jones and Beach is charging us to do the analysis. I'm curious, you know.
We haven't gotten a bill yet.
Okay, all right. Okay, so next, so that was good that he's in the loop of doing that for us going forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Skipped in the hydrodynamic tank failure. That was just a newsletter. Coliform results, we get away for that in September. Water shutoffs, you guys are working on that. Ted Foley letter.
We discussed that Thursday.
Yeah, and so we did draft a response, right?
It hasn't gotten drafted yet.
Yeah, that's what I was...
That's fine. Just saying that, you know, according to the ordinance, the water bills are due.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the longer it takes, the more it just keeps growing.
Yeah.
Okay. Tony Ursillo,
We were all set. Same thing last week.
And then okay, liens on the properties. Okay, you guys working that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Public hearings. Now that we're in September already, now I'm thinking the month of October, the public hearings.
Well, we should have a maybe, and as much as it kills us, Paula, we might have to have a meeting just to discuss what we want, what things we want to address as far as ordinance changes.
Oh, you have to. You have.
But we have to, the three of us have to meeting and focus just on that.
On that.
Okay.
Yep.
And I know Dawn's kind of keeping a little folder, I hope, with notes of all the things that have come up in the past on ordinance updates and changes.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So Chris Albert had also mentioned a tank.
Okay, can I just make a statement?
Yes.
I know with a public hearing, it has to be posted,
and
it has to be posted in
30 days.
30 days, yep.
So that,
aware of. That's why I'm thinking we're already in September, now we're looking well into October.
Yep. Exactly. We don't want to overlap with the annual meeting and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
So Chris had asked about tank ceremony. Do we want to have that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll let him know and ask him to get back to the office with a date.
Okay. Paula, do you agree?
Yeah, I will say this, though. I mean, I this may cause some controversy. If we're going to have something, I think Adam should be invited and should be included, and I think his work on getting the tank done should be noted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did a lot of work on this up front, and I want him to, I think he should be recognized at that ceremony and included, so.
Okay.
He may not attend, but at least I think we should extend the invitation.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, once we get the date for it. Okay, thank you, Paula. That's very insightful.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because I feel like I didn't do anything, so I'll be happy to attend, but I mean, I haven't really been a part of the work involved in that. So, and you see how much work has been done when you go up there, you're like, wow.
Yeah,
this was quite an accomplishment. It was a lot of work. So,
thumbs up all around.
Paul, we're going to give you the bottle of champagne to smash against the sidewalk.
Okay. I'll do that. Okay.
All right. Friday, I discovered, I think we all discovered, a sign that was mounted to the DES sign. So I sent an email out to Chris. Obviously, if one contractor does it, then all the contractors involved can do it. And basically,
we don't have an ordinance against that.
So,
is there an ordinance that says?
Well, this is public property.
Well, it's on their sign.
No, that's the state sign.
Okay, so
that's paid for by the state.
So, right, if it's the state sign, then the state would have to ask him to remove it. I would say I don't have a problem with it being there while he's doing the work. I really don't. But that's a, you know.
But then EII should have one.
Sure.
Ian should have one. And then we talked last week about putting up red reflectors at the stop sign, and someone said it's too much signage. Well, that would be a perfect.
That's temporary. But it's temporary. So anyway.
But
I didn't know if we had a specific ordinance that was.
Yeah. So you can't. There have been people that have gone out of the post office. You may have seen them at time. They put up their cleaning business. They put up babysitting. You know, that's solicitation. No community wants solicitation to be posted on public properties. So.
But my question is, does it violate an ordinance?
I'll have to go back and look at the Town of Madison zoning ordinance.
I was just curious, because that was kind of how it was presented to Chris, that it violates an ordinance. But I just thought that if the contractor is doing work in the district on behalf of the district, he's not doing work on private property in the district, he's doing work on our property, that there was an issue with him putting his sign on a state sign. It's not even our sign. It's not
right.
Like he's tacking it to the side of the mailbox building.
Well, I've seen some of those other signs, those DES signs. There's one over at Taco.
Mm-hmm.
Not Taco.
Yeah, I have
two.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But there's no contractor's nomenclature there.
Anyway, he's already asked him to remove it, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
Yeah. I just thought we should have been asked first. And I'm just...
Okay, all right.
Okay. That's all I have for my commissioner's report. Kathy?
Well, the Department of Labor, we've got that resolved. The fire extinguisher, which was a holdup, we finally got that resolved. The budget report, I think we can go through that on
Thursday. Okay.
I don't think... Is there anything else I wanted to talk about here? thing. Nope, nothing that can't be done just with the office, you know, checking on some of the... You know, we increased the disbursement from $103,000 from the $295,000 grant to $108,000.
Right.
And that was because he included the Bryant paving?
Well, that was... Yeah, that was the 34 for the Bryant paving was included.
The math doesn't come out right.
Right, right.
He must have included some other things. And I'm surprised he included the Bryant paving because they haven't done the work yet. So,
right.
For him to ask for reimbursement on something that hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, we did sign the contract. I'm glad we got reimbursement for it.
Yeah.
I guess the big part I'm waiting for is now the contract number 2, which is the Upper Lakeview pressure zone. But again, we haven't heard what plan they want to go with yet.
No. And we're still looking at all options, which is good. Okay.
Yeah.
So if we could just, when Chris sends you the whatever contracts went to support that disbursement number 2. We know it's a Dan Tank, we know it's a Dawson's, and now we know it's a Bryant. There's got to be some other ones in there.
Yeah.
So we included the ledge probes and the architectural survey and that kind of stuff. So
the other thing that I wanted to track, and Donna and Lynn, maybe you can do this through QuickBooks easily, maybe not, is the expenses that we have paid our water operator, Ian Hayes.
That's the first thing on my list to do with Donna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The expenditures with Ian Hayes as a result of this project.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of those will be for the accidental breakage of the water main. We need to have note of this and know what that tally is.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you.
Okay.
That's on my spreadsheet. There's a spot to put it, and it's on my notes here that doesn't require a motion or an action by the commissioners, but just something we want to get our arms around.
Yeah, because this now falls into another situation where 2 culverts were replaced completely on Bristenstock and Aspen that were not agreed upon by the village district.
Yeah, we agreed on one of them, but not the other one.
Yeah, so the question is, with what breakage and costs were incurred by the district, which will be reimbursed by the contractor in some way, I want to know what those costs for those 2 culverts are, what we're going to finally be charged. And then that all comes into play. You'll hear Kelly talk more about when we finally do the roads and get everything patched up. A lot more gravel is going to have to be brought in, which wasn't part of the estimate. They just, you know, they dug the ground up, they mixed the gravel with the mud underneath, and then they just pushed it back over. Well, that's not a good surface to ride on. So we're going to have more gravel brought in to make that surface at least 3 to 4 inches thick.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
What were the items you met, what you said were for the $103,000 increase to $108,000?
So what? Contract 2? Just say supporting documentation needed.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to know, because $108,000 is 24% of a big number, and
right.
We need to know how we got that big number.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The other thing I just want to remind very quickly the commissioners is that we still are scheduled to do Jeff's review, not scheduled at any particular date. I'm still waiting for his supervisor's input, so I know he's working on that.
Oh, did you pass that on to Kelly?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So Jeff wasn't here last week, so obviously we didn't schedule anything for last week, but we should address his annual review in short manner. So. Just keep that in mind. If you could maybe jot some good things you've noticed, some concerns, some things that need to be worked on, that'd be great.
As far as Jeff is concerned?
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Paula? Just to let you know, Paula, I know you weren't here on Thursday, but we voted to ask Kelly to seek a beaver trapper to trap the beavers. We went over several of the recommendations by DES, and I know in the past we've had a couple of those options that were actually utilized here. One is what they call a box culvert, which is a wooden box, so the water can continue to flow underneath the beaver dam. And then the other is we used 2 or 3 blue brute pipes, same concept, have the water flow underneath the dam so the beavers don't even know it's moving. So, and they both basically failed after a year.
Yeah.
So.
And the article was, you know, they said that those pipes do require maintenance.
Yeah.
And once the beavers figure out that's how the water's getting through, they dam those up.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately.
What I didn't realize is that he's already unplugged that 3 times in the past 2 weeks.
He said that.
Yeah.
He said that last week. Yeah.
So he'll be back there, I'm sure, this week.
Yeah.
If we could just somehow remove all the trees and muck that they build up.
If we cleared the area, what, 150 feet?
Yeah, yeah.
To remove the source of the vegetation, but
right.
That's
clear cutting. Yeah. All right.
The only thing I would say is I don't know why we wouldn't try putting a smaller grate on each. First of all, the grate doesn't even cover the culvert. It's there. The culvert has, you can get in the sides of it. So I don't know why we wouldn't try putting a grate on each end of the culvert, a smaller grate, and at least try that and see how often that would need to be cleaned before we would resort to this. To me, I just think like you talk about people messing with the ecology and stuff, and I don't know. I don't favor just killing off these beavers. I don't know that we have too many of them. They are building, they've built their lodge in the causeway there. What do you call it? The channel.
Oh. Yeah,
that's where their lodge is built for the winter, and so that's where they're living now, and that's why they're on the end. They're living in the end down in this end where it's open. They can get right in there, the pipe. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I would have preferred we try something else before we just trap them. But you guys voted for it. You voted for it. That's fine. So anyway.
Yeah. I'll ask Kelly to reach out to DES because that grate that's on the header of that pipe was actually designed or came with some specification from DES as to what size grate to use. And it'll be interesting to see if we can put one on the other end. If that's,
It wouldn't even block them because they can get into it or on the sides of it. It doesn't cover the helpful culvert. So I don't know why it doesn't fully cover the culvert.
That's the question, because that was actually that size was recommended by DES.
Okay. Anyway,
and I'm wondering.
Yeah, but that's just No, it is blocked again. I was down there. I was there yesterday.
Is?
Was it yesterday? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay. They saw 5 beavers simultaneously, so there are 5 individual beavers there now.
Yeah.
Making more babies for next year.
Well, you know, I just don't know if they would choose to, you know, we don't know what they would do next year. So I'm just saying, I wouldn't have voted for it, but whatever. You guys did. That's fine.
Okay.
Let's move on. Okay.
All right.
You know, I don't have anything else. And if there's anything else you want me to take on, let me know. I don't have any projects right now or anything. So.
We were just talking about that earlier, so you just hold your horses.
Okay. Because I also had a thought, too, about starting to get ready for the annual the warrants and stuff. So go ahead. What else?
Okay. That's basically all I have on the agenda, unless anybody else has anything else that they want to bring up today. How's admin doing? Everybody
good.
Happy?
Well, yeah. We had the weekend off.
I took Lynn quickly and briefly through MailChimp, so I'm going to have her play with it a little bit so she's able to get that figured out. And we want to implement LastPass here, which is just another time saver for the computer to keep track of all the passwords of all the different departments and vendors that we deal with.
Good idea.
And we're going to do I'll sit and we can figure out which of those property owners we want to initiate the small claims court. I think Don has done a phenomenal job tracking down the ones that we could track down.
Yeah.
And those that are left, we'll look and see the status of the property. And if it's not owned by the town of Madison already, then I think we should go ahead and put
In today's mail, but it's I believe it's just a lot, not a home.
Yeah, it's a lot.
The town took over 31 Edelboden Way.
So they now own the lot, and we don't have a lien on it for the water bill.
Well, there is a new water
bill. It's just a vacant lot.
It's just a lot, but this just happened to come in the mail today. That that they became a owner of the deed now.
Okay. Yeah, I thought historically that once the town took over a lot, that they would give Idlewise kind of right of first refusal on purchasing that lot, or did they deed it over to us?
Yeah, so they now have taken that lot by what is called tax collector's deed.
Yeah.
So now they have to hold on to it for, I believe, it's either 2 or 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. before they can actually either put it up for auction or make an offer to the abutters, which Edelweiss is always an abutter, to pick up the lot for a minimum of back taxes due or whatever they decide.
Okay.
So that will be coming back to us probably in 3 years'
okay.
time.
All right. So that's the timeline of how that all
yep.
happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Very good. Anybody have anything else?
Hi, this is Dinah. I was thinking that this meeting was supposed to be talking about changes to the water ordinance, but it sounds like you're not going to do that today.
No, it was just issues relating to the water system about the hookups and the water line extensions, and there was just a bunch of things that required, I thought, more of a discussion than just do we do it, yes or no. And there was so much on the agenda last week. I said, okay, can we just have a brief meeting on Tuesday to just get caught up with some of these things that need to be addressed? You know, the people looking, you know, Grimsel, the person on Grimsel led the water issue, the person with the water service line needing repaired. So it was more that of those types of things, Dinah. Sorry.
Specific things, not the policy in general.
Correct.
I understand.
Correct.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make Thursday's meeting, so I do have a couple of questions, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
Jay, do you know how many bleeders or blow-off valves the project is going to eliminate?
Two.
Three.
Is it three? Three with the Upper Lakeview one? Yeah.
Three.
The first one did two, and then the Upper Lakeview project, which hasn't been started yet, will eliminate the third.
Yep.
So the end of Briston stock is gone? That bleeder?
Yes, it is.
It was Jungfrau. Was one.
Yep.
The Upper Lakeview one.
How about the one at Edelboden?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right, so that's one thing. And do you know what those narrow red pipes are along the side of the road where the project has been?
Yep, so those are new blow-offs. So when we need to flush the water line, as we do every spring and fall, we open those up to get any sediment that's sitting in the pipe and flush it out.
Okay. I suppose those will be very carefully protected from our snow plowing people.
Yeah, we have to make the DPW, first of all, aware where they are, which I'm sure they are, but maybe more visible with maybe a higher stake on there with a little yellow flag or something.
Yeah, that would not be good if they hit those. When there was the outage of September 1st, when you were going to close the road because of the culvert?
Culvert, yep.
Did you know that the Madison Police or Sheriff's Department were not notified of that?
I find that hard to believe since I'm the one who made the call. I know exactly who I spoke to because he's on the Madison Fire Department and also runs dispatch. You want to talk to him, I can have you give you a call.
Okay, that's okay. There was just a lot of questions about it and retweets to the sheriff's departments and so forth.
Okay, because I talked to Kelly Robitel, who called the sheriff's department to acknowledge the road was back open when it was.
Okay,
so I think everything's fine.
I wouldn't necessarily count on social media for that kind of information, but
I wouldn't either. I would want them to be notified by the village.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't believe what I read on social media about things not being notified. That's all.
Yeah, dispatcher's name is Officer Michael Morrow. You can call him direct if I can give you. I can give you his number if you want.
Okay,
I can tell you exactly when I called him.
I believe you. Stop it.
Okay.
And I heard you say that the retesting for the chloroform on the summit won't be done until this month?
Yeah, so it's our normal monthly testing.
Okay, they didn't specially retest it because it was bad.
No. It just, if it shows up again in this month's normal testing, then there'll be another level of assessment, according to Ian, that we may have to perform.
Okay, all right. All right, so aside from changes to the water system procedures, that's all I got. Thank you.
Okay, hey, Donna, Dinah, did you want, I believe you asked for a copy of the budget drawdown, is that correct?
Yes, got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay. All right. Good.
The last one that was done by Kathy, I don't think there's been one since then.
Well,
right.
I did one the end of July and the end of August.
Yeah, we're up to date.
End of August, so that's good.
We're going to talk about that Thursday.
All right. That's all I got. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Dinah.
All right, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Well, hearing no second, I guess we can continue.
I'll second it.
Okay.
I'll second the adjournment.
All right, we have a second by Kathy. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
11:20.
Yeah, thank you, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.